We are in the book of Luke this morning. I want to share a thought with you. You know, when our kids were growing up, there's a toy that most of our kids had when they were growing up. One I had, and you may remember it. It was like a little eight-sided octagon thing, and it had every side of it would have different shapes. How many know what I'm talking about? And there was like a star shape, there was a rectangular shape, there was a square, a circle, and an oval. There was like eight, or well, if there's eight sides, there'd have to be eight of them, right? So I'm smart. The kids would take the little toys and you would fit them in the hole and put them in there. When it's full, you'd pour it apart, they would fall back out, and you would do it again. Now, if your child had that toy like my child, they didn't get the memo when they first started. They would grab the triangle and they would try to like put it in the round hole and it wouldn't work. Now, when they're young, they don't figure out that maybe we should try a different hole. They're like, I'm doing it wrong. And they're going to keep forcing it in there. And I don't know how many times our older ones particularly had that toy and I'd see them pushing there. It's like, never going to go in, never going to fit. You have to change what you're doing and put it on the right side. Now, why do I say that? Because a lot of us are like that in life. We grab something and we're trying to make something work in our life, and it doesn't work. And so what do? We keep doing the same thing, thinking that it's going to change. Wasn't it Einstein that said insanity is doing the same thing the same way and expecting different results? In our story, this is the story that's early in Jesus' ministry. He's out and he's trying to share his word with the crowd that had gathered. He decides to get into a boat. It's Peter's boat. And so that he can move a little bit off the shore and he can speak better to the crowd so that they can better hear him. Of course, Jesus was concerned with individuals, and when he preached to the crowd, he would preach a message that was very personal to them, and he's trying to get a hold of them. He's trying to have them to meet with him, to understand what he's trying to say. But in the midst of that crowd, there's an individual there that he is going to also get a hold of, and his name is Peter. Peter is a bit of a captive audience. See, this isn't a chance encounter. There's no such thing as a chance encounter with God. Although he was doing one thing, there is another thing right in the middle there that he's trying to do. He's going to try to teach Peter a lesson. So after they get done, he's telling them that they're going to catch some fish, and he tells them they've got to launch out into the deep and drop their nets for a better harvest. Now, Peter, a very experienced fisherman, says, we've already been at this, you know, and paraphrasing here, they were out all night, they went fishing, and they didn't catch anything, and he kind of tells Jesus that, and they had their plan, they followed their plan. They were fishermen, they knew what they were doing. Jesus was not a fisherman by trade, but it did help. He was God in the flesh, and so that's going to work. But these guys were prepared, they had their plan, they had done this for, and yet when they went out, they did not catch anything. Many of us, as I mentioned before, in our life feel like that, or we have felt like that at times in our life. There have been things that maybe we've had to deal with. There have been things that we have had to face, and we tried something to make it work, and it doesn't work. We do all we can. We'll do what we feel is best. We'll put the effort in. We will sacrifice, and yet the situation doesn't necessarily get better. It could be a relationship. Could be sometimes people in their marriage think that I've tried to make this work, and we're doing these things, and it's just not going anywhere. Maybe it's a career, what you're doing for a living, and you're thinking about the future, and it's just like nothing is going on. Maybe there are some family struggles. Maybe there are some problems or some trials, and you're feeling like I'm doing all these things, and nothing is changing. Could be in weaknesses. Things that you don't like in your life that you're trying to change, and you're trying to make better, and you're trying some things, but you're going nowhere. A lot of times it's in our spirituality. We come to God and we do certain things a certain way, and we feel like that's just the way it is and it's going to work, and we're pushing at it, and it's just not what we want it to be. And we end up feeling like Peter. They went out, they caught nothing, they came back in, they cleaned the nets, they cleaned the boat, it's over, until Jesus came and he had a little talk with them. That's when things changed. Jesus tells them, go out there and drop a net. And I'll give them credit, they did that. And all of a sudden, the activity they were involved with all night long, which was futile, fruitless, now they have more fish than their nets can probably hold. What happened that changed the outcome? Going back to our story, what happened to help them to be able to now take what they were doing and putting them in the right hole? As we think about our life, I want you to understand something this morning. If you're struggling with an area of your life, or you're trying some things and you feel like things aren't where they should be, maybe you need to change what you're doing. We have a hard time with that. How do we do that? Well, there was two things that Peter and his accomplices did to change things. First of all, they had to be honest about their failed efforts. They had to face the fact that what they had did didn't work and probably never would. We have a hard time coming to that place in our life. We have a hard time coming to the place when we're struggling with something just to say, you know what I'm doing isn't working and it probably never will. Because if we don't get to that place, we're going to continue to do the same thing we've always done, and we're going to get what we always have gotten. So we need to be honest about our failed efforts. What were some of the failed efforts? I want you to notice they failed with a delegation. Look at the verse. Peter told Jesus, goes, Master, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. You see, he wasn't out there working by himself. He did have a group of individuals with him. He did have some of those who were helping him, but despite the fact that they were helping him, it wasn't working. You know what sometimes our problem is? We go to the wrong people for help. I say this often, but when I'd work out, I didn't work at the church, I worked somewhere else, you'd be sitting in a break room or something, and you would see someone giving another person counsel who, to be real honest with you, had no right giving them counsel. I've seen guys that have had 3 or 4 marriages sitting there telling this young guy how to run his marriage. Well, let me tell you what I told my second wife. I'm guessing that didn't work. Or here's a guy whose kid's in jail, and it's like, let me tell you what I did with my kids. Now, I'm not blaming them for that, but I'm just making a point. Sometimes, look, I don't want a mechanic fixing my car whose car doesn't work. I can't make it to your house to fix your car. My car's not running. Not the guy I want. Okay? But sometimes we rely on people, and people are good-natured. People have a good heart sometimes, and people have proper desires and proper motives, but sometimes they just don't have the skill or the life experience to be able to help you. And we go to them. It looks like the story in the Bible of Rehoboam, who took over after Solomon. And the guys that were with Solomon, the older men that were Solomon's counselors, gave him good counsel to tell the people, but his buddies who grew up gave him bad counsel. And what happened? He followed his buddy's counsel. And guess what happened? He lost 10 of the 12 tribes as king. Whereas the guys that were with Solomon, they knew the issues. They had seen what had went on. They gave good counsel. But so often we follow the ones that don't. Maybe we need to get counsel from different places. Maybe we need to quit relying on something that we think is helping, but maybe it is not helping. They also failed with determination. He said, Master, we have toiled all night. See, it wasn't for lack of effort. It wasn't because they went out on the boat to catch fish and they didn't try very hard. Sometimes that happens, right? I mean, you got to put the effort in. These guys were determined, but no amount of effort that night was going to help them. By the way, sometimes we need to work harder. I'm sorry, we need to work smarter and not harder. There's a little verse in Ecclesiastes 10:10. It says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, sharpen it, then must he put more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. You know what that verse is saying? Work smarter, not harder. That's a biblical. He says, look, you have this dull axe and you're trying to chop down a tree. Why don't you stop for a second and sharpen the axe? And then you'll have more strength. And he says, wisdom is profitable to direct. Sometimes, look, just because you're struggling in an area, don't beat yourself up. I just need to put, sometimes we've put enough effort in. But maybe we've not put the right type of effort in. And so it wasn't because they didn't try. They didn't fail with determination. They failed with diligence. He says, Master, we have toiled all the night. I mean, this is something they just kept going at. It was a long-term problem. They were diligent. They were faithful. But the problem was nothing was changing, okay? And I'm the kind of person, if you're doing something that's not working, let's change it up here. Let's fix this thing. I don't want to waste my time. But some people almost get into the groove when things aren't going well, like, well, that's just what I deserve. That's just how it is. Here's a couple, and their marriage isn't, they don't hate each other. They're not going to divorce court, but it's just like, it's just, the marriage doesn't, just, it's just not what it should be. And so what they do is like, maybe that's just how it is. Or maybe there's something with their children, and they're just not there. And it's like, well, you know, maybe that's just life, and that's maybe just how it is. You know, they look at their spirituality, and maybe you're here at church, thank you, you come to church, but just, I just don't feel that connection with God, but maybe this is all there is. And we get used to something that we should never get used to. By the way, do you know God offers a lot? I am come that they might have life, I'm glad about that, and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, if God says you can have life or you can have abundant, you can have abundant life, I want it. If someone says, you know, do you want two scoops or three, I'll take three, depending on what it is, okay? Do you want two pieces of fish or one? Zero. I don't like fish, okay? But it's like, look, do you want, if your boss comes to you and says, look, I can pay you, you know, I can pay you $2,000 a week, or I can pay you $4,000. Like, just give me two, give me four, okay? I mean, you know, I can let you drive my Ford, or I can let you drive my Dodge. Give me the Dodge, unless you have AAA. But we settle for less than what we can have, and we just get into the thing. But can I tell you something? We have to come to the point where we understand that what we're doing is failing. So then what do? Well, secondly, they had to be open about changing course. You see, if they're willing to understand that what they're doing is failing, and if we look at a situation in our life and say, this just isn't working, that's when you get to the point where you're willing to do something different. Yeah. Too many people don't get to that point. Whether it's addiction or just a problem, that's just how it is. No, you got to look in the mirror and say, I don't like this. I want something better. And then you have to be open about changing course. How does that happen? Let me give you a few things and we'll be done. We must be open, first of all, to Christ's presence. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out to the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, they had went fishing. We already know that. Nothing was happening. It was all bad. But now Jesus gets involved. By the way, that's a good thing. If you want your life to change, if you want things to get better, you got to let Jesus get involved. Until that moment, you're just working on your own. Until that moment, you're doing everything on your own. And let me just tell you something. God bless you for trying, but if Jesus gets involved, it's going to be a lot better. If you have kids, you know how they are. You go to the grocery store, and our grocery store, because we have so many in our family, is usually a Costco. You know, you get the 12-gallon drum of mayonnaise, okay? And you get all this stuff there. And so we go there, and you know, we got all this stuff in the car, and either the kids are at the house, or the grandkids now, the little ones, it's like, you want to help carry stuff into the house? They're fired up about it. And then you try to give them something they can handle, like bread. It's big, but it doesn't weigh much. But they want that. You know, Jason will come, hey, I'm going to carry this. I'm like, all right, I know he can't carry it. And you have to follow behind him because you know, you want help with that? I got it. It's like, brother, you're dragging it, okay? The bag's ripping open. We're losing the Cheetos. It's all bad. But they don't want help. They got it. And you just got to kind of take it from them. We do that way too often with the problem. I got this. And it's like, you're messing it up. It's not working. Why don't you just let me get involved? Do you know Jesus is concerned about everything in your life? When he said about salvation, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Do you know that was just the beginning? That wasn't the end. He wants to be involved in everything that's going on in your life. He wants to make everything better. If you're having trouble in relationships, he wants to get involved and he wants to make them better. If you have trouble in your, and I say career, but more like your purpose in life, and you feel that life has no meaning, Jesus wants to get involved and make it better. You say, my family's not what it should be. Get in line. None of ours are, okay? But you're saying, I wish my family was better. Let Jesus get involved. I'm struggling with this problem. I'm having this issue. There's this situation in my life, and I'm getting stressed about it. I don't know what to do. Let Jesus get involved. I have this thing I struggle with. Man, I wish I could get over it. I'm not proud of myself that this is part of my life. Let Jesus get involved. You got to be open to Christ's presence. That means you're going to have to take yourself and set yourself on the side. That means you're going to have to realize everything you were doing, although you put the effort in, all that stuff, you got to put that to the shelf. And Jesus, what do you want? But you got to be open to him taking control of your life. Next, we must be open to Christ's proposal. See, we think of Jesus and his relationship with us sometimes as just some, you know, he's my best buddy. I know what you mean by that, but he's more than your buddy. He's actually God in the flesh, all right? And, you know, he's just my pal and all this, and I understand all that, but he's more than that. You know, and I mentioned our Sunday school class, and people say, you know, God's my co-pilot. Jesus is my co-pilot. And I mentioned, if he's in the plane, I want him flying it, okay? I want him in charge. He's not our co-pilot. He wants to take over everything. But when that happens, he's going to give you some things that he says, which will make things better. He gives a proposal. Verse 3, he says, thrust out a little from the land. Launch out into the deep. You see, his plan was to leave the safety of the shore, to head into the deep waters. Don't stay close where we were. Go somewhere where you weren't, somewhere that's a little more dangerous, but a little more risk, but it's high risk, high reward. He says, don't just stay there. You have to be willing to leave where you are if you're going to get to where you want to be. Too many people aren't. Because that's fearful. That's new. I've not been down that road before. I don't know how that's good. If I live my life for God, if I follow God, how is that going to, I've not been down that road before. Really, that's where faith comes in. And to be honest with you, that's growth. I mean, you're on the shore, Jesus says, I want you to launch out into the deep. You're not immediately there. It's a journey. And you start going farther and farther and farther. And before you know it, you look back and you've come a long way from where you were before. But you're not going to if you're going to be stuck to the shore. He gave him a proposal. Don't stay where you are. Go somewhere else. And if Peter had not obeyed this first small command, he's not going to obey the bigger one. Launch out a little bit and then go into the deep. Just start going away from the shore. And now, what? Now that you're going away from the shore, get out there to the deep. Just go. Keep going. It comes in increments. Don't look at where you want to be as much as look in which direction you're heading. See, sometimes we get discouraged because we have so far to go. Sometimes we have problems in our life, and we say that, you know, you didn't get your problems in one day. They're not going to be solved in one day. It takes time. You're going to have to start making steps towards it. But what we do is we look at where we want to get, and we get discouraged by far how far we have to go, so we don't make any steps. We have to follow his plan. His plan is to get out. His proposal, I'm sorry. Then we start up. Nextly, we start to follow his plan. We're no longer pasted to the shore. Now we're heading out into the deep, but he wasn't just sending us out to the deep for a joyride. He had a plan. Here was the plan. And let down your nets for a drought. He goes, now that you're taken off from the shore, now that you're going into the deep, you're going to get out there, and then you're going to let your nets down so you can catch something. And Peter's like, you know, we've done this all night. It's not going to work. You know, Peter gave all the reasons why he thought it wouldn't work. And then he says this, nevertheless, at thy word. He goes, okay, I'll do it. I mean, by the way, and we don't understand all the stories here, but when fishermen went out, after they would come back, they would have to, it wasn't as modern as we have it now. They had to wash those nets out, which took quite a bit of time, and they'd have to set them out, let them dry. It was pretty time consuming. So it wasn't just like, you know, take your boat out and drop the net again. They had to take the nets that they had already prepared to store, put it back in the boat, and go back out. And if things didn't work, when they come back, they got to clean those nets up again. But he's like, this hasn't worked. It wasn't working, but you said to do it. So, all right, this is your plan. I'm going to follow it. That'll help you get somewhere when you're open to the plan that he gives. The problem is we like to be in charge. We do. Look, if I'm in a car, I'm going to drive. Okay, we go on vacation sometimes, and we're coming back, or it's 15-hour drive sometimes, and it's 20-hour drive sometimes, and my wife wants to drive. I'm like, I'll drive. If anybody's going to run to a rock, it'll be me. Now, and that's how it is. My sons, I'll drive. I'm like, no, I've seen you drive. Okay, I've seen you drive, so my wife's a good driver. And finally, you know, about 10 hours in, when, you know, my eyes are closed, hey, honey, you falling asleep? Oh, no, I was just praying, you know, just praying. Lord would guide me. It's like you pull over and she'll drive for a few hours, okay? But I like to do the majority of the driving if I'm in the car. I don't know, man. I just like to be in charge. And maybe that's a bad thing. But we like that in our life, and we don't want to turn that over to anybody. And we make our own plans. Let's do this and this and this. And sometimes our plans aren't working. Jesus said, follow my plan. That's hard for us. I'll be honest with you. It's very hard. It takes trust. It takes all of that. But we have to be open to his plan. Yes, there was still going to be effort. They had to go out into the deep. And yes, they were still going to have to toil, and they were going to have to work. But now, all of that effort and all of that toil and all that diligence was now channeled into a plan that was not their plan. It was God's plan. And so now it had a greater chance of success. And the fact of the matter is, it had no chance of failure. Whenever we do what God tells us to do and we follow his plan, there is no failure. Because if he says when the guys were thought the boat was sinking, and they got in the boat, and Jesus said, we're going to the other side, and he was sleeping, and they thought the boat was going to sink, they should have thought, well, wait a minute. Jesus said we're going to go to the other side. He's sleeping at the bottom of the boat. He is the Messiah. It's all good. He didn't promise the ride was going to be smooth, but he just said it was going to happen. But if we follow his plan, we will get to where we need to be. Hey, why don't we get to the point where we look at the things in our life and we look at what's not going on, and we look at our failures and just say, you know, why don't we just trust God? And I'll be honest with you, sometimes we need to quit making that the second option. Well, I've tried everything else. All I've got left is prayer. And people, you know, it's like, is that what it's come to? That should have been where you started. But sometimes we can't go back. Let's follow his plan. What happens if we do that? We must be open to Christ's payoff. He told them. He said, if you go, you will catch fish. It's going to happen. Now, in verse 5, he says, and I will let down thy net. Jesus said, drop your nets, plural. Peter said, you told me to do it, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to drop a net. You know what that is? That's like, I'm all in, Jesus, but then we leave one foot over, just in case it doesn't work. I'll get in, but I'll get in 90%. You know, maybe 50%. Can I just tell you something? When it comes to Jesus, I'm being nice here, doesn't work. He doesn't want 50%. He doesn't look for perfection, but he looks for complete trust. He doesn't look for you to be perfect, that everything's going to happen overnight, but he does want you to be all in. Okay? That's like getting a prenuptial before a marriage. You know what you're saying? I'm pretty sure this thing's not going to work, and I got to have a parachute just in case. That's where's the trust? And we do that with God. You said to drop them. And he's probably thinking in his mind, if I go and drop one net, hey, you know, that's only one net to clean, not all of them. And maybe this will work, who knows? Now, he did have enough faith to go forward, I'll give him that. But not enough faith to go 100%. We have to be open to the payoff. If we want the payoff, we got to be willing to take the risk. We don't take the risk. We don't like that. You know what we like? We like comfort. We like what's in front of us. We like what we can see. We like what we can know. And we'll give some effort, but we're going to hold in reserve just in case this thing goes south. And in some things, maybe that's a good thing, but it's not a good thing in Christianity. In Christianity, if you want the payoff, you got to be all in. Next, we have to be open to Christ's persuasion. Verse 8, he goes, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What do I mean by that? You got to be open to go to Christ and be persuaded that he's right. And when we're wrong, we're willing to admit it. I mean, when he caught the fish, he didn't say, praise God, this actually worked. I mean, he said, I didn't catch anything, and one net's worth is better than nothing. You know what he thought? Why didn't I trust him completely in the first place? Why didn't I listen to him in the first time? He's like, man, it brought to mind the fact that he had shortcomings and that if he would have just followed to a greater extent. And by the way, that's not something to drop guilt on us. Whenever we feel like we've not done something, just come to the Lord and let him know it. He just wants us to get it right with him. And be willing to change and do the things that we're supposed to do. And then we have to understand and be open to Christ's purpose. In verse 10, Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now I want you to understand this. It wasn't about the fish. It wasn't about that. That was a sidelight. That was a teaching moment. One of my favorite little videos on marriage, we've showed it here. It's not about the nail. How many have ever seen that? You got to YouTube it. That thing's great. You know, the lady, and she has a nail in her head, and she's talking about her husband, and I just got this pain in my head. He goes, you got a nail in your head. She goes, stop. You're always trying to fix me. He goes, but you got a nail in your head. You don't care. You know, it wasn't about the fish. It was about, I want you to follow me for the rest of your life. Hey, Peter, I got something better for you here. And before you were going to do something better, I had to teach you in this area. You see, sometimes we think that God's just trying to clean us up so we're a trophy. You know what trophies do? They gather dust. I was mentioning what our kids got third place in football. It's the first time many years we haven't won our tournament. Probably 4 years. I'm like, thank you. You guys worked really hard. I don't want that trophy. We don't do third. You did great. We'll work for it now. Because we have too many. I mean, how many times we've thrown trophies out? You know, the kids are all excited about it. It's like, okay, yeah, we'll store it in the office. And then like, all right, ditch that thing next year. Keep the first place once. But it's not about being a trophy. God doesn't want you to be a trophy. You know what God wants you to be? He wants you to be what he wants you to be. And part of that is getting these issues in our life settled so that he can use you to a greater way and for a greater purpose. Yes, God wants your life to be abundant. Yes, God wants your life to be better. But it's not just so your life would be better. It's not just so that you can have the abundant life. It's so that you can do things for him on this earth. How are people going to get helped? How is the gospel going to get out? God uses us. But he has to clean us up and he has to work in our life first. Now let me ask you this morning and we're done. Is what you're doing, is it producing results? Are there things in your life you're like, I've tried everything and I've done this and it's just not where I want it to be. What's going on? Maybe we need to change what we're doing. But we have to be willing. And once we're willing, we let Jesus get involved and we follow all those things in his life. And you know what? Slowly but surely, things will get better. Slowly but surely, you'll see things starting to work. But we've got to jettison our own plan. Let's all stand together this morning for a minute.